Jazakallah, Mufti Akhusab, for that wonderful presentation this morning. Absolutely fantastic for the kiddies. Allah Ta'ala reward you. And inshallah, parents, this is the dua that we make for our children every day. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa zurriyatina qurrata a'yun. Yes, indeed, may Allah make our children the coolness of our eyes. Hazrat Mufti Sahab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Mufti Sahab, just one quick announcement. One of my best friends, Gulamba, I see that from Binoni, Lakefield, passed away just now. A very, very close friend of mine, and Mulana Abdul Razak Sahab, rahmatullahi alayhi. May Allah fill his qabr with noor. May Allah Ta'ala grant the family sabri jameel. And inshallah, all of us can prepare for death. What a Mubarak month, what a Mubarak occasion. May Allah Ta'ala make it easy for the family. Ji Mufti Sahab.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. May Almighty Allah Jalla wa la grant Ghulam Bhai Siddat Jannat al-Firdaus al-A'la. You, the family, children, grandchildren, all of you should be reading Surah 14, Surah Ibrahim, verse number 41. Rabbana ighfir li wa li walidayya wa lil mu'minina yawma yaqumul hisab. Oh, beloved Allah, forgive me, forgive my beloved parents and the believers. The forgiveness, yawma yaqumul hisab, the day the reckoning is established. Daily read Quran for the deceased, daily give out charity, and insha'Allah al-Aziz, Allah Jalla wa'ala will forgive the deceased and all our amwat and deceased, and our shuhada in Gaza, they in Sudan, they in Burma, and wherever else. So we must make dua collectively. Allah Jalla wa'ala grant the family sabri jameel as well. Allah Jalla wa'ala make it easy for you also, Mu'ana Salim. It was a person who was very close to you. Allah Jalla wa'ala make easy for all parties concerned. Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen.
Mufti Sahab, I use a nasal camphor inhaler, non-liquid one, with camphor to open nasal passages. Is this allowed while fasting?
Whilst a person is fasting, any form of medication that goes through the mouth or nose and nostrils will nullify it. So therefore, our fatwa verdict will be, in this case also, remember your fast will be broken and not permissible. Similarly, today people, now there's so many different categories, but we know the old one. So people, for their lips, they want to apply lip ice, they want to apply Vaseline and so forth and so on. So it's not permissible. Whether you know intentionally or inadvertently, you will be swallowing all those things there. So therefore, we need to exercise caution. All these type of things you do, night time, no problem. But whilst you're fasting, it will nullify and break your fast.
Sir, there are multiracial orphanages across the country. Muslim kids are also in this organization. Who checks on their halal foods and who checks if they pray five times a day? What religion would they follow? Will this not breed a new religion?
Definitely remember that we as Muslims are in charge of all our affairs, and we're supposed to be in charge. Let me give you two, three examples. We have our prisons, and mashallah, in our prison boards, we find our Mona Shabir Asmal Day of Durban, Jamiat KwaZulu Natal. He and his team, they're playing, mashallah, a very, very active role. One of our students and graduates of Darul Newcastle, Mona Azim Khatib, he was one of the chief chaplains, remember, and he played a very, very prominent role in the prisons and so forth. So therefore, remember that it's our duty that we should be looking after the orphanages, the prisons, and wherever else they are Muslims. So when you pose this question, so there are two, three different questions that will come from there. So what should we do as the Ummah? We should be the ones to have our own orphanages. When I went to Malawi, so our Hafiz Faisal, so Mataya, so and his father, Haji Abdul Ghaffar Mataya, he passed away. The two of us, Haji Abdul Ghaffar Mataya and myself, we entered the Kaaba Musharrafa in 2011, and his son, Hafiz Faisal, arranged it with the help and mercy of Almighty Allah. go and see there in Lilongwe what an orphanage they have put up, and no chanda and collection business. They themselves, with their own personal money, they run that orphanage, the best orphanage in the whole of Africa, run by the Mataya family. Allah Jalla wa Ala reward them, and mashallah, Allah has given them dilwara in Memon, in, you know, and they got a heart to spend, you must remember this. So we must give them due, and credit where credit is due. So that is also normally in South Africa. What happens is, when people hear you want to build the mosque or something, quick, quick. But these type of things, orphanages or so forth, we neglect it. So we must ensure wherever there's an orphanage, so if there are Muslim children there, then we need to get some Maulana, some social worker, somebody to go there and look after their welfare and so forth and so on. We can't be leaving them abandoned. That will be setting them up for irtidad. When they grow up, 90%, 80% of the time, that you will find they will leave the fold of Islam. Because there was nobody. See today, Fajr time, what happened. So after I finished with Jumma, Salim Kareem, I read my sunnah here in the studio. I went to the masjid, read the 2 rakat salat with the imam, and then I gave the advices I give, you know, daily after Fajr. And one young boy, Umar, 5 years old, he came to make salam, because he knows every day when he's there, so he must come and make salam. So just jokingly, I asked him, Umar, are you fasting? He told me something I didn't understand, because he was very shy. So his father came after that. So we spoke. I asked him that Umar is fasting. He said, yes. That he kept 2 fasts, complete full fast already. So I called him again. I said, Umar, how many fasts you kept? Then he pointed. He said, 2. So I asked him, how old you are? He said, 5 years old. So imagine if you have such a healthy environment. Small, small children, 5 years old, their father brings them Fajr time to the masjid. The son is just too happy. He is elated, delighted, and so forth. And we play with him a little bit, put our hand on his head, on his cheeks, and so forth, and so on. We say, Allah is going to make you a good hafiz, and so forth, and so on. So that is what our children need, our students need, the true love, you must remember. But once we abandon them, then the non-Muslims will come and they will exploit the situation. So 100% we agree with you. It is our duty, whether it is our prisoners, whatever crime they committed, is our duty still. And when I was in Newcastle, we had a trade school. So I was always wondering that who is going to read Taraweeh there for them, arrange for them their iftar and so forth. Allah Jalla wa Ala, give my mother Ma Dokrat, Ben Dokrat, our my brother Yusuf Dokrat, who passed away in 2002 as a shaheed in an accident on a Friday. So he and his son Umar Farooq. So Allah grant them all Jannatul Firdaus. So Ma Dokrat, Ben Dokrat, she's 84, 85 years old now. She used to arrange the iftar and I used to go there and do the Taraweeh for them. So we must not do things only where we are getting paid for. We should do it for the betterment of the Ummah, for the love of Almighty Allah, for the love of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah will give you all the money, all that khulus mehe fulus. So do things sincerely, and Allah Jalla wa Ala will make the arrangements for the money and so forth.
AK, is the statement halal not accepted by all Muslims? Why do Muslims not buy halal products from a non-halal store? Example, chicken that contains a halal stamp.
Remember that my stance on this is that we can't trust every halal logo. If you look at the micro South Africa, you look at the macro, this halal industry, the Sharia compliant industry, has become a multi-million, multi-billion, multi-trillion industry. Every country I have visited, I made sure, I went to the imams, I went to the ulama and asked them, how does your halal work here? Whether is your chicken, whether is your mutton, whether is whatever else. And not one country I was really satisfied. There are just far too many loopholes and so forth. Take South Africa. If somebody tells you that Rainbow is now slaughtering 300,000 chicken per day, okay? They can have 10, 15, 20, 25 slaughterers there and so. Do you really want me or a true Muslim to believe that these slaughterers are slaughtering and saying Bismillah, Bismillah? They're supposed to say Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, but nevertheless are saying Bismillah for every one of their 300,000? Never. It can never be. So remember this, and when I went there, I asked them, they don't even read Salat. That one chap came to me, he said, we never even did eat Salat. So I asked him, why you didn't go? He said, we told the boss, you understand, we want to go for eat Salat. They said, just sit quietly, yeah, we'll pay you overtime. So he said, we took the overtime and we did go for eat Salat. So this is from the horse's mouth, you must remember. That white guy was a manager there. I still got his card, I forget his name. So, but I believe he's no more there, the white guy. I posed this question to him. I said, when you'll have the stunning for these animals or the shocking for the chicken, so definitely regarding the chicken, some of them, that they die after they are shocked and so forth. He said, yes. So they call it pink chicken and so forth. So I asked him, what you do with it? He said, we use it as feed for the other chicken. Now all this is haram in Islam. So therefore, personally, if you're asking me, we don't have any confidence in any halal organization in any part of the world. It is a direct case of scholars for dollars, and yu'minuna bil ghayb, the Quran said, you must believe in the unseen. The truth of the matter is, today, Islam is commercialized, whether it is our halal industry, whether it is the Sharia compliant, whether it is the Hajj and Umrah. Today people, now after Fajr, I met my neighbor, you know, neighbor of the masjid. He's leaving for Umrah and so forth. You go ask them how much they're paying. He said, no, my son is taking me. I said, very good. So remember that people for 1 week, 2 weeks and so forth will pay 50, 60, 70,000 depending the package they're taking. It's a complete rip-off, you must remember, by the Saudi regime. It is just to make money and so forth. Nothing to serve the Hujjaj or the Mu'tamirin or Zairin, to serve the people who are coming there of guest of Almighty Allah, as guest of the Prophet Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is the tragedy of the Ummah. They can't help people in Sudan. They can't help people there in Myanmar, Burma. They can't help people there in Gaza, in Palestine. But remember this, they want to rip people off. That is the tragedy.
Mufti Saab, is it permissible to listen to Sheikh Asim Al-Hakim?
Remember that his fatwas are totally upside down and so forth. I give you one, two examples, you must remember. Somebody asked him in this week here, because people send it to me, that they asked him, you see, these are the Salafi characters. They give crazy fatwas. They are Muslim, but they are dhal and mudwil. So I'm giving you one, two examples. Remember of how crazy they are. So somebody asked him, that Sheikh, I'm a Muslim, I'm fasting and so forth, but if I give food to a non-Muslim in Ramadan, is permissible or not? He said, no, it's sinful. What an idiot you are, you understand? Quran Kareem states, وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا. So the true Muslim is he, that he will feed the poor people, he will feed the orphans, he will feed those in captivity in prison, out of the love of Almighty Allah, Jalla wa'ala. But their minds are very, very small, you see. They live there in Saudi, or they live in Makkah, Medina, or these areas where there's Muslims, or 90% Muslims and so. Now, how in the world can you say that if a person I give now, when I was going for Fajr, I take biscuits, I leave it there. Tabu comes, you understood? So Suleiman comes, my brother Suleiman Jada, to pick me up, and then the Tabu was there. So I just put the biscuit, and then he came. So we're all fasting, so now Tabu came. Fundisi! Siabonga Fundisi! Thank you, Fundis. You see, that's what he says. So I just laugh. I tell him, no, very good. You take your biscuit and you go. Now, Sheikh Asim, if you want to call him Sheikh, I call him Mufatiyas. So you must remember that. He says, no, he's sinful. Are you crazy or what? So then somebody asked him about MBS and that. He got so angry. He said, no, you mustn't ask these questions. So you must ask them these questions. Yeah, is MBS a Muslim? A pakka murtad. وَمَنْ شَكَّ فِي كُفْرِهِ فَوَ مُرْتَدُّونَ He is out of the fold of Islam. If you knew Arabic, somebody sent me a wonderful clip, you must remember. He says MBS went there to Medina and he offered Salat and Salam. There by the Master, alayhi salatu salam. And then he made commentary. He's saying that Muhammad bin Salman, we don't call him that, but he said that that person is commentary. He said, he went there and said, this is my name. And what I have done, I have destroyed Islam. I have put cinemas everywhere. I made rave shows everywhere. And I'm destroying your deen, O Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he's trying to remind him, you're going to the Prophet's grave sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but you're a pakka murtad. You destroyed everything which Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam was teaching and preaching.
Respected sir, in Islam, Muslim women have equal rights to men. So why do you forbid them from working, nor do you allow them education?
My brother, I ask you a question, you must answer me, right? Your name is Tom, Dick and Mary. It's like me asking you why America in its 250 years plus minus existence of democracy never had a female president. What will you say? In 2016, Hillary thought she won, but what? How humiliated she was and is, just like her husband Bill, who was busy with Monica. If I ask you, how come Israel, the rogue apartheid terrorist Nazi regime, Hitler's children, they never ever had a female president? They had a female prime minister, Golda Meir, but never they had, you must remember, a female president. What will you say? I'm asking you. You love your Wimbledon, you love your tennis, you love all that. For the men, you play the best of 5 sets. And for the women, you play now, in this day and this age, you play the best of 3 sets. So why there's no equality in that, Mr. Tom, Dick and Mary? So if you want to pose questions, so these are the fair questions I can ask you. So to say that Islam is against the education of women is an absolute lie. So we against going to such institutions like your institutions, the brothels, which will remove the virginity of the ladies, that will remove their shame and modesty, where they'll open their legs more than opening the books according to your Minister of Education. And last year, your matric and your high school, there were 150 students that were pregnant. So Islam is dead against that. We say that they must go and study, you must remember, by correspondence. My wife, she never saw a high school, but she's helping me every day. So you must remember the thousands of fatawa, over 100,000 fatawa verdicts we issued. So she used to type out with her own hands and so forth on the computer and so forth. So we believe in empowerment of the women, but not your empowerment where you have brothels and where you make them prostitutes. So that is what we are against. And there's no equality of the genders in the true sense of the word. It's like saying you, Tom and Dick, you must get pregnant and you must get, you understand, start breastfeeding and so forth. So Almighty Allah created male and female as the masterpiece of Allah's creation with different responsibilities. My wife will be my minister of interior. I will be the minister of exterior. That is the harmonious system, the natural system, but your crooked, democratic, capitalistic, secular system came and destroyed and eroded the family structure. Therefore, half of you are crazy nutcases. You must remember that. One side, one shrink has to go and visit another shrink. Go and see what is happening. So that is our response to that. Jazakallahu khairan to one and all. And inshallah, remember a few announcements. Just now will be the news with Brother Suleiman Esop, the news. And inshallah, thereafter, today, 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock will be Q&A with Moana Khalid Yaqub, and that will be on Radio Al-Ansar International Sirius FM and on Merkaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and 7 to 9 this morning will be Brother Al-Amin Templeton. Barakallahu Fik, Zubana Salim Kareem and all the listeners, and make dua for us and the Ummah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.